Hello, and welcome to On Staging, a discussion podcast highlighting community theater in Calgary and the surrounding area. I'm Kyle Gould, and today I am pleased to sit down with the founders of the Nightingale Arts Collective, Megan Schultz and Melissa Jackson, to discuss The Bridges of Madison County, the musical, in concert at the Sea Space Theater in Calgary, April 12th and 13th. The link to tickets are in the show notes. Melissa was recently celebrated in FRC's Sondheim Musical Review, with arrangement and direction by John Goulart, one of Calgary's finest guitarists and choral conductor, creator of the Bow Valley Chorus. Both Melissa and Megan are performers in this production, as well as kind of the architects of all of this coming together. So with that in mind, thank you both for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thanks, Kyle.
So, let's talk first about the Bridges of Madison County, the musical in concert. And when did this idea take root for it to be your first production for Nightingale?
I've been wanting to sing Francesca probably for 5 or 6 years.
Why is that?
There's something about her character that is just very touching, very human, very raw, very flawed. And I think Jason Robert Brown's music really embodies that as well. And the music itself is gorgeous and it's wonderful to sing. It's really gratifying to sing. And it also sits in my voice really well.
Okay.
So lots of reasons why I really wanted to do this musical. And I guess it occurred to me one day that if I didn't produce it, I may never be able to sing Francesca. So, and then and Melissa and I had been chatting about working together. We know each other from Calgary Opera Chorus and Cowtown Opera also. And we just sort of started talking about producing Bridges. And then it kind of came up that, you know, we should probably have a production company to do this.
Right.
So it kind of all snowballed. It was just sort of one idea after another that everything just kind of
normally
happened.
I like to, it's funny because normally I like to ask the question, you know, how did this production company to be, how it came to be, how did you choose your first show? I felt like I needed to ask about the show before the company because it seems like that's what happened first.
Yep.
And so when did this first discussion about putting this together happen?
That's a good question, actually.
I think it was spring of 2023.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So literally a full year ago.
Yes. And I think we were talking about starting something that would support singers in town and maybe provide more opportunity for performing and just more of a community that Cowtown was when it existed.
Yeah.
It no longer exists. And so Bridges came out of that, but also some other initiatives that we started came out of that. We do a thing called Wine and Shine, where we invite singers to come to either Megan's house or my house. We alternate. And we provide a pianist, accompanist, and they can bring a song. The first 15 people who sign up can bring a song and sing for everybody. So it's an opportunity to socialize, to meet with your peers, and to work on music or perform something to a very, very supportive audience.
Mm-hmm. Singers have the opportunity to sing something that they like, something that means something to them.
Right.
And so they're showcased in their best light because of that. I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also the lights from your living room windows.
So. Yes. Yes. The beautiful vista in Melissa's living room. Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. When did this Wine and Shine start happening?
We had the first one in July, I think. And then we had another one in honor of my birthday in January. And that one was really fun too. So we've had two of them. We plan on having 3 or 4 a year.
And will that fold into the Nightingale Arts Collective?
Yes.
Something that you're going to be doing going forward with that? And was that essentially almost like your auditions for this production? Or did you host like formal auditions for...
We have not had formal auditions. I don't want to call... Wine and Shine is not an audition process. It's a community gathering process.
Yeah.
So I don't want people to think that... Like, it's a safe place for people to present things they love. So I don't want anyone to feel like, you know, there's pressure to be at the top of their game or whatever
when they being come judged.
And sing. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean,
yes,
it's
totally
just,
safe space. Yeah. But having said that, we definitely, you know, you hear people and you're surprised by them because we don't often hear people solo sing solos because we're in chorus with them.
Right.
right? So some of the voices, we were just like, wow, that's astonishing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had no idea, mm-hmm. you know? So yes, I mean, we have discovered some people that way and realized that they're perfect for this or that role. So we didn't audition for Bridges. We just selected people and asked people.
You gently asked.
Yeah.
If they'd be interested.
What is gently asked if they'd be interested?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
We want to be a collaborative mm-hmm. organization too. So we chose the musical. We want people on the project who are just as interested in the music and the show and working with us. So
yeah,
because we didn't have auditions, we didn't know interest in the right. in our community.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then when word got out,
oh yeah,
there was a ton of interest.
So many people yeah. were like, oh, that's like my favorite musical.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. And they're, you know, we have wonderful singers singing in our ensemble for mm-hmm. us and totally keen and we're so.
So how big is the cast just in general then?
I think there's 17. Mm-hmm. So my two daughters are singing in chorus, which is really fun.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. And just, Melissa's husband, Chris.
Oh, yeah, my husband.
Aw. A family
so
event.
So just so many people who are just interested in supporting mm-hmm. and ensemble singing. It's beautiful singing, but of course, it's not principal role singing. But we have these incredible people who could be principals singing in our ensemble.
Easily, oh, wow. Yes. And they will be, you know, when we do
other things,
other productions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other gratifying thing is Nightingale, our concept isn't community theater. We have like professionals and emerging professionals singing with us. But what we're not doing right now is paying them because it's our first production. Right. I mean, we've applied for grants and things and we want to be able to pay them. We intend to pay them, but they did not sign up with the expectation of being paid.
Right.
So
let's roll that back then, because you had the idea that you wanted to put together Bridges of Madison County. Did you always want to do it in concert, or had it been initially a discussion to do the musical itself?
We toyed with the idea of doing the musical itself, but it was one of those things. I mean, that would be way more expensive.
It would, okay.
And take way more time.
For the rights, for the, mm-hmm. you know, costumes and staging, sets and yeah. staging and yeah. rehearsal time.
So how much time and effort did you put into looking into whether or not you could afford that?
Well, I went back and forth with MTI quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And, well, I can't really say that it was the cost of just the licensing that was prohibitive.
Yeah,
but everything
fair.
Else, right? Yeah. And then
time is a time, big
thing. And yes, and because this was our first production and we weren't thinking that we'd have funds, right?
Right.
We also wanted to keep the commitment time minimal mm-hmm. for people. So to that end, we had one read through, and I think we have
one ensemble rehearsal.
One ensemble rehearsal, and then like five rehearsals.
Mm-hmm. Including
all together.
A dress right. rehearsal.
Yeah.
Just the week leading up to the shows.
Yeah.
So,
and that's this week right now.
Yes, that's this
but
week.
Still rolling back to spring of last year, around this time last year, when you're talking about it. How much time did you spend, the two of you and anyone else who was involved, with that discussion for whether or not you'd go with the musical? How quickly did you make the decision to go to the concert?
It was just me and you.
We made it pretty yeah. quickly, actually.
Yeah,
because the thing is, the music stands on its own.
It does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It tells a story. The mm-hmm. songs. There's not a lot of musicals that you can get away with not staging it in order mm-hmm. to get the whole feel.
Mm. And we do have a narrator, story. Right?
Yeah.
So,
but I feel like this musical really lends itself well to being sung in concert. Each song is beautiful. Each song tells a story. It does.
Yeah, each song tells has a perspective
yeah.
of its own.
Mm-hmm. It does.
So even if it's not telling a full story, it's
exactly.
at least you're getting
the character story.
A character's mm-hmm. decision.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
It's really very interesting the way he wrote it.
Yeah. And I think that has a lot to do with the history of the book as well, and then the movie mm-hmm. and then the musical and how it all came to be. There's some really mm-hmm. the same thing with Spitfire Grill, where its origins are outside of a yeah. whole cloth conceived musical mm-hmm. that it's taken its inspiration from works that were literally yeah. novelized and then turned into a movie mm-hmm. And that's happened a ton in the last
Super
couple of years.
And yeah. by the way, this is a true story that yeah. was turned into books and then a movie and now a musical.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Long story short, I think we realized Bridges of Madison County, if that was going to be our project, our mm-hmm. first project, it lent itself really well to being done in concert. So we weren't compromising.
Mm-hmm.
It was a decision like, this is a great thing to do in concert.
Yeah.
That's a good point. It's not a compromise. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's wonderful. So you made the decision, you're going to go forward and do this as a concert. Did you have space already lined up by that point and a date and a time and know those components or?
We chose the dates pretty quickly.
Yes, we chose the dates based on when other companies didn't have productions.
So smart of you. So many.
Although, of course, things have come up since then. But
there always will be. Yes. Yeah.
And so and I think C-Space was the first thing that jumped to mind because it's affordable. Mm-hmm. It's central.
We've both sung in it. Before, and the acoustics are fine.
Well, we're going to be mic'd.
Yeah. I mean, if you're all in mic, I don't know if you'd really need them. It's such a small space.
Well, we have a band. We have a percussionist.
Exactly. And, yeah. You need to compete with the music that's going to be in the space as well.
A lot of the pieces are quite intimate too. So, I mean, our tenor is an operatic tenor, but a lot of the songs need that intimacy that you can only kind of get with a mic and like a little bit more subdued. And then it also evens the playing field for everybody.
Accessible for everyone. And you won't have to compete with the band.
Yeah.
That's fair and valid. So you went out to the C-Space group, you got the location. How many production team meetings did you have then going into making a decision about when you're going to email people and ask them to be involved in the singing and the performance of this?
We had lots of meetings.
Yeah.
Just Melissa and I, but then it was your idea to ask John Goulart to come on board. And so then we met with him probably last summer, right?
Early summer.
And so how did that happen?
We just needed a good music director.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We don't need a stage director.
And so, yeah, we both agreed that he would be perfect. And I just emailed him and said, would you be interested? And he was very interested.
That's
right
wonderful.
Off the bat.
Mm-hmm. That's
yeah.
Great.
So, we met with him. And
have you worked with him before?
Yes, we both sung with him in the Firebird Chorus. He's the artistic director of Firebird.
Chorus and Symphony.
Yeah. And also Bow Valley Chorus. We've done some work.
Which he is the originator of.
An orchestra.
That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's out in Banff. So is he traveling in
He
every
comes
day?
Back and forth. And he's doing so much work for us.
Yeah.
He's arranging,
amazing.
Arranging scores.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
And getting the musicians together.
Yes. And learning all the guitar and mandolin parts. Mm-hmm. He's just... Like, I just can't believe how lucky we are to have him.
You are indeed exceptionally fortunate.
Yes.
To have him involved in this production.
100%.
It definitely increases the pomp and circumstance of the whole entire event by having his name connected to it.
Mm-hmm. I love the fact that we decided on this project and we asked people if they'd be interested in contributing. And for the people who have said yes, it's already been, even before performing, it's already been such a gratifying experience. John didn't know the music before we asked him, and he listened to it and he came back so excited and said, this music is gorgeous. You know, he's a classically trained person.
Both the Tonys for orchestration
and
essentially composition. So that's saying a lot.
Yes,
best score at the Tonys.
I know,
you are walking away, which is interesting because it was already out of the run.
It is interesting.
It finished its run already.
They had such a short run.
Yeah.
What a shame.
That is not uncommon, though. The more I hear about this, there's like Rocky Horror, which is also up at the Pump House right now. It won a Tony, and it was on Broadway for like 18 or so shows. Like it didn't, 57
that's
shows.
Crazy.
It lasted like nothing. But that's because the movie came out at the same time as it came out to Broadway. So nobody was going to see it. They'd go see the movie instead. But it also Tonys and whatnot. So it's interesting to see that shows, even if they've had a limited run on Broadway, still have a material impact and value when it comes to further down the road productions like yours. You're building it on something that was done with quality and care in mind. So you've got a whole bunch of people who've said yes. You've got a great score and a great composition to put this together. You go up on Friday. What's been hard about making this happen?
Well, I'll tell you what's been hard for me.
Sure.
I had a family emergency last week and I had to go to Philadelphia for my cousin's memorial. So
I'm really sorry for your loss.
Thank you. Right before we were starting our rehearsals. So today I've had to get my head back in the game. And I think because of the group that we've got together and everybody is so excited about it, the performers as well as all the other people we have supporting us, I think I just don't see how it can't work, honestly.
Really?
Well, yeah. at our first sing through, Ian Robertson was accompanying us. He's our accompanist for the show. And he said at the end of the rehearsal, he goes, I've heard shows that were less prepared than this in performance.
Yeah.
And that was just the read through.
Yeah.
So everybody came knowing their stuff.
Yes. Like super, super excited about what their part in the production. That I think that's what's really blowing me away. No matter if you've got, you know, the leads or ensemble or musicians, whatever, everybody's so invested in their part in the show. It's a true collaborative collective. It's not just, you know, my time to grandstand myself or whatever. It really feels like a group project.
Mm-hmm. A good group project.
And you know Ian, right?
Yes.
Yes. I know Ian, he plays well for Morpheus.
Yeah, he's done. He's
phenomenal.
Been, yeah. Honen award winning.
That's right.
Like, you know, a gifted prodigy and a skillful pianist. You're lucky to have him as well.
Yep. Oh, just absolutely.
Amazing. Yeah.
The hard part for me, I guess, is just, you know, all the details. There's just so much to take care of.
How did you handle that?
We're still handling. I picked up the booze before I came. That's why I'm late.
Just one thing after another. Make a list, tick it off. Mm-hmm. There's just so much.
Have you had to elicit help to do it all?
I mean, so
it's
luckily,
so hard to make this thing all happen yourself.
Yes. Luckily, we've had a lot of help with promotion. I have a dear friend named Michelle Sherman, who is our publicist for this. And she is just thought of and done so many things that wasn't even on our radar.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, like
as
this, for example.
We would never know.
Yes. Yeah. Because the business side of all this is
like
not our
posters.
Forte. Right? I know. We still have to do the program this week.
We're so proud of ourselves because we have a poster.
Yes. And by the way, the poster was created by another dear friend of mine, Barb Sheldon. I was just sitting talking with her and about the show, and I met her, she was working, and I met her for coffee and started talking about the show, and I was like, oh God, I gotta get a poster done. And she's like, oh well, let's just do it right now. And I'm like, what? You can do that? And she made us a QR code, and I was like, oh, that is magical. How did you do that? So thank goodness for Barb.
It's been really great.
We've had lots of help. And our husbands too, of course.
I know,
we can't forget them,
picking up stuff and dropping off stuff, printing stuff.
Being linear for us.
Yes.
Is what my husband does for me.
Yeah. And you know, doing that front row center players show right before, it gave me a lot of inspiration for what I wanted to be in an organization, giving performers opportunities.
Right.
You know, like they do so many things right. It's really nice to see. They're just community theater.
Yep.
But boy, they show a lot of respect for the performers, you know.
It's amazing how community theater, because it's volunteer-based, has a higher level of professional standard than I think a lot of the professional companies that you would find yourself falling into.
And that's a great segue into one of our motivations for starting Nightingale is, you know, we've worked with a lot of people, volunteers, professionals, over the years, and everybody in the arts world knows that there are some personalities that are, you know, can be quite damaging.
Yeah. And I honestly don't think they started out that way. I think it's just something that happens along the way that there's a jading that happens and a wearing down of the soul that can occur in these sorts of environments when so much is put upon you for so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, this is your first show. You're seeing how much work it is to do it from the backside of things that you might, even as a performer, have ever seen before.
Absolutely.
Arranging ushers. You're like, oh, I have to do that.
Absolutely. Do we have ushers?
No.
And yet you need people there to take the tickets when they come in and go find their seats. And right. But it's just one yet another thing on a long list.
Yes, it is a very long list. And I would be really surprised if we got to the end of that list before we open.
Yeah.
I think though
we might not have programs.
Yes. Yeah. I agree about the whole community theater thing. I couldn't believe how lifted I felt and supported and celebrated.
Yeah. And I think cared for, right? Like your time and energy.
My time was totally respected.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And so when I talk about personalities in the arts, you know, there are the people like that who, as you say, are worn down and maybe had the same experience with other people when in their formative years. But we've also worked with people on the other end of the spectrum who are wonderful and respectful and kind, and they get the job done too.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's the culture we want.
So you can do it that way.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
That's the culture we want to create or uphold. Mm-hmm.
I always tell my kids, hey, did you approach that situation with kindness first?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because if you can be kind, it automatically makes things 10% better. Mm-hmm. If they're also kind, you would be amazed. It's not just an additional 10%. If two people approach the situation with kindness, it immediately makes the situation resolvable, no matter what it might be. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like there's a lot of kindness that's from the heart.
It's really what we want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's wonderful. You have been in two community theater productions this season with FRCs and with Swamp Donkeys.
But yes.
You haven't said anything about the Swamp Donkey. Weren't they loving and caring and kind too?
Oh my goodness. Such an amazing experience with Trisha and Mel. Yes. Yeah. I love them both. Swamp Donkey is great. It's out of town.
Yeah.
So it's very different from what we're doing. And
that little tiny hole in the wall commercial area theater that just turns into an open and inviting space.
Right? It's an amazing place.
Yeah.
And then they put on a show that I think few people saw because so few people really know what it is.
Right. I know. But I think that's what it's like in the arts. You just have to slowly and steadily build your audience and fan base.
And they're doing a great job with that.
Yeah.
And then Spitfire Grill had a great cast.
It did.
It was full of wonderful people. And, you know, it's nice to have something in that Bragg Creek area between kind of Cochrane and Okotoks and kind of bridges that community area.
Absolutely.
And it's not that far away.
It's not. I live in Springbank, so it's only...
That's not bad at all.
20 minutes away.
It's half an hour from here.
I know. With the Ring Road, it's great.
Yeah.
Swamp Donkey is also an organization that's doing it right with respecting their space and the people who want to perform with them and can perform with them. They are great at choosing shows that best represents them.
So why is it called Nightingale?
There's many Nightingale stories.
Oh, yes.
But the Hans Christian Andersen story, the story of an emperor who falls in love with a Nightingale's song. When the emperor, who is spoiled, is gifted a mechanical Nightingale, he prefers this fake bird song. And so the real Nightingale bird goes back home. But then the emperor eventually gets really sick and the Nightingale comes back and charms death with her beautiful singing. And saves the emperor's life.
So you want to charm death?
Kind of.
That's one.
So that's one of them. But there is definitely another one. There's several Nightingale stories. But
yeah.
I think we also thought about the one where when the Nightingale sings, the song that comes out actually colors the world.
Yes.
Because when we were thinking of our logo, we were trying to think of how we could do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very synesthesia sort of thing.
Yeah.
You see colors when you hear sounds.
Right.
Yes, totally.
Yeah.
The world in color.
It can change your environment. It can change your life. Music, I think, changes people's lives.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of heated discussion about that, where a lot of people who do classical art of drama and play, they're like, music is just a shorthand cheat to give you an emotive feeling when you're like, this is a major chord, everyone be happy. This is in a minor key, everyone is sad. Mm-hmm. Just telling you how to feel as opposed to giving you the clues and the context to feel.
I feel like it elevates the emotional, the emotional context of
it can elevate.
It can. Yes. And I tell my students that, you know, the most important part of a musical piece is the words, right? Yeah. But the music is there to support that and elevate it. And you know words are important because they're set to music.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. However, the nightingale sings alone at night. It doesn't sing, like, and that's what makes its song so beautiful, is that it is heard at night when no one else and nothing else is singing. Mm-hmm. The nightingale's voice calls out above the trees in the canopy and can be heard from miles around, the sweet mellifluous sounds mm-hmm. of the nightingale. So that always, that sparks to me that, you know, you're trying to create sound from darkness, that there,
yes.
where there is nothing before, mm-hmm. let's make a moment of beauty happen.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be happening this Saturday and Friday, mm-hmm. April 12th and April 13th at the C-Space location. When you are done this show and you're packing everything up and putting everything into storage wherever it's going to go for Nightingale's first production, what are you going to take away as your memories from this experience?
I think I will take away exactly what I was hoping, is working on a project to the most intimate details with a community that I hold in awe. All these singers and musicians and publicists and friends, I hold them in absolute awe, and how we all came together and we made something.
Mm-hmm. It's about relationships.
Yes. And I think that's Nightingale.
Between sure. us, but also with the audience. You know, we're telling a story it's devastating. It's a devastating story. Yes.
I don't know. Well, we can get on that in a second. Okay. I don't know if it's devastating.
I think it is.
I think there's other stories that are truly
well,
devastating.
Maybe not in comparison to other things.
There's,
but
like, people get on my podcast and they drop hyperbole like it's nothing. Like, this star is so devastating. And I'm like, really? Everyone is alive at the end.
It is your podcast.
Okay. It's
an emotional roller coaster.
It's sad.
For sure.
Is that a better word than devastating? No, Francesca is, actually Robert is quite devastated by the whole thing because he has no other relationships in his life. And Francesca.
Whose fault is that?
Well, you can't fault a guy for.
You can't.
I don't know. Maybe he's got PTSD.
Pining for a woman for 20 years later.
That's like, true.
It was you have to suspend your disbelief for this one.
I mean, I read the biography of the author and his self-insert character into this thing of, and what's great, I'll dive into it too. There's been this like huge discussion as to whether or not this book is a fiction or a romance. And I was like, because, you know, in the 90s, that was a hotly contested discussion of debate.
I did read all that.
You would go into the fiction section of the bookstore or you would go into the romance section of the bookstore, and there's all the Harlequin romances at the start.
It's just a life story.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a romance. I don't think it's fiction necessarily. I think it's like a life story that speaks to people. The story speaks to people, for sure.
I mean, in the same way that 50 Shades of Grey speaks to people, this is like a progenitor to 50 Shades of Grey.
I don't think so. It's not graphic. And it's
a progenitor.
Like a way progenitor.
Oh, yeah. We're talking 30 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So about the story and about maybe the ridiculousness of someone having a 4-day love affair and then pining over someone for the rest of their life. Yes, that is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You are right.
Especially when he's like a playboy already. Like, he's so handsome and he's so famous and he does all these things.
Yeah.
It's definitely the author's self-insert.
So, character. But I think you have to focus on Francesca. So for Francesca, this is a life-altering moment.
Yeah.
And it's something she hadn't done before and she doesn't do again, and she hasn't experienced this feeling before because basically she married Bud to be rescued
after
passed away, and then in Italy was devastated for sure by the war. So, you know, everything she knew was gone. And so she says, I could love him, I could want him, only take me from Italia.
Right.
So she doesn't love him.
She could.
She hopes she can. Yeah. And so she's in this marriage and she's in this new country and she's a farm wife, which Chiara, her sister, had warned her about before.
Yeah.
You know, you'll be exhausted and numb.
Yeah.
And so here she is. And then it's the second time in her life, because she loved Paolo,
Yeah.
You know, her Italian boyfriend who goes off to war and dies.
Yep. As all good fiancés at the start of a movie should.
Right, yes. Right? Like, perfect setup.
If you've got a fiancé at the start of this, they need to die quick.
They're definitely dying, yeah. So, cameo. So, she meets Robert and she's suddenly got these feelings that she's either never had with Bud or can't remember having. And it's only a 4-day affair. And you think to yourself, well, don't be ridiculous. Just, you know, get over it, whatever, it's fine. But the problem with that is she's left with these super strong emotions. They don't resolve into a mature relationship. You know, they never hear each other fart, right?
Right.
So she's left with this, what I call a unicorn of an idea of Robert for mm-hmm. her whole life. And that's what she pines over. She doesn't really know Robert. Of course she doesn't.
No.
But she knows this moment that she never had before and never has again.
What she really needed to do was just take her husband on a couple's vacation to Mexico, where they went away on a retreat together for like 4 days. That probably would have solved a lot of things.
they needed some counseling.
They needed some alone time together that was not tied into the grind of their day-to-day existence.
Yeah. But that's true for so many people. And I think that's why this story is so important and is so moving to people because this happens.
Right.
All the time.
And who are we to judge?
Yeah. We don't. Right? Yeah.
Like, I think it frames the story really well, this musical. Might I say maybe even better than the movie? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's Meryl Streep.
Yeah, I know.
Right? So it's hard because she immediately encapsulates and she shows you all of those emotive qualities that she's so good at doing.
Yes,
that's right.
That's the reason why they cast her is because it's a book. There's so many things that she leaves unsaid that you just have to feel her experience. Mm-hmm. Meryl Streep is good at doing that mm-hmm. for you. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have song to jump into.
She mm-hmm. carries that whole movie.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the music in this is really, really nice and lush. And it also emotes mm-hmm. a lot mm-hmm. for you.
Yeah. Right? I mean, the music is the Meryl Streep of the musical.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
The music. But I also feel like when the audience sees it, you know, and when we get to see their reaction to it, I feel like that's going to be a huge part of that too. Because I really think that this is going to be moving for people mm-hmm. and they'll enjoy it.
And the singing too, like just like our first experience with Wine and Shine last spring, they just brought songs and, you know, they sang them acoustically with piano. And we were just blown away mm-hmm. by the individual talent.
So much talent.
The nightingale, right? I mean...
Yeah, the nightingale is a little brown, unassuming bird. The sound comes out of them and they're, right. you realize, oh, they're a nightingale.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think our audience is going to be blown away by the individual performances
mm-hmm.
as well as the whole thing, the whole package,
the story. Wonderful. Can I also add that it sounds a lot like your takeaway is that you've laid the foundation for a strong and stable organization, a collective going forward for your next project down the mm-hmm. road too? If mm-hmm. that is to be the case, I'm getting mm-hmm. looks from people, but I think that you wouldn't have done this if you didn't, and create Nightingale if you didn't want to make more art beyond the one show.
We definitely, absolutely. Yeah, we have tons of ideas.
Yeah. So was that a list? Was that something when you said, okay, let's figure out what we're going to call ourselves?
Collective is actually, right? Has been more important.
More important.
Yeah.
So this arts collective that you've come together and you've built, what was the list of shows? Because you said, you know, we want to do Bridges to Madison County. Now we have to make a show, a company for it. We have to make a collective for this to happen.
We don't have specific shows in mind, really. I mean, there is a Nightingale opera that we could do, but we more have ideas like, let's do an Irish show where we have, you know, we collaborate with Irish dancers and musicians and stuff. And let's do like an art song night. Let's do a cabaret. We got tons of ideas like that. We just need mm-hmm. to...
We want to listen to what our community wants to perform, mm-hmm. you know, like maybe... Mm. Do
I've heard
you
a lot
have
of
any?
Politicians say that in the last 10 years. And I will tell you right now.
I do sound like a politician. I just want to hear what you want.
Right?
Tell us what you want to do.
Vote for me.
So I will tell you this. Nobody was telling you, screaming from the rooftops, bring Bridges of Madison County, the concert, to Calgary.
Nope.
Nobody was saying that.
Except me. It was me.
Right.
So that was from me.
So you create the things you love. If you yes. build it, they will come. And there's a real Field of Dreams quality here where it's not Kevin Costner building the whole baseball stadium on his own. He got help from other people that he won over with his vision.
Isn't that funny? You just made another referral to something set in Iowa.
Oh. Right?
Which is where I was born.
Oh, are you all
coincidentally?
It's hilarious.
She was born in a bridge in Iowa.
A covered bridge in Iowa.
Wow.
Or maybe a field of dreams.
Oh.
No, you're totally right. Yeah. It's kind of like woohoo out there to say, oh, we're, you know, we'll just do whatever you want to do. But we are open to ideas.
Mm-hmm.
We are open to not just doing musicals, not just doing musicals that highlight roles that we can sing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are open now that we are such good producers.
Especially if we can do things like a cabaret where we could just say to people, bring your best. Bring us your best and let's show people.
But you have plans already then in mind for what 2024, 2025 is going to look like? Are you going to do more than one show? Or are you going to do two?
I would like to do two.
Yeah.
And then continue with the community things that we're doing, like Wine and Shine.
The Wine and Shine, yeah.
Yeah.
And we'd like to open up Wine and Shine to a cabaret, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because this is worth seeing. This is fabulous stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So now let's go back to Bridges of Madison County, the concert. For your rehearsals, where did those take place? Did you rent a rehearsal space? Was it in somebody's house? What did you do?
So another one of our major supporters is Chinook School of Music.
What's the connection there?
I teach there.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's a wonderful place to teach. Wonderful teachers there. And Carrie and Robert, the owners, have been so generous with providing us with rehearsal space.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not costing us a dime.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. We're
probably
really lucky.
Won't be the case for all of your shows, but for this one, especially when you need that, this show will help you build that foundation of not only people around you, like Michelle, who's now doubtlessly on your board, I would hope, and helping to do all of the work for marketing that you necessarily don't think of, but also give you that amount of money that you need to buy the rights for the next show, to pay off the person, whoever one of the two of you was that bought the rights for this one, you have to pay that back. But have enough in the nest to continue to build and develop more shows, because that's what this is about.
Exactly. And we really, really want to pay people at least approximating what they deserve.
Right.
Our singers are phenomenal. And that's definitely our goal, to be paying people.
Yeah. It gets tough to pay people.
It is
really tough.
It's because there's so many additional costs.
The hard costs. Exactly. And then
you have to rent the space.
Yeah.
You have to have the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And then
you have to get the rights.
As well.
You have to pay musicians.
All of that on top.
And and those hard costs. And then you get whatever might be left over and then you divide it. So
right now we just really have to push ticket sales.
And so tickets are not too expensive. There's lots of features that come with these $45 tickets for these professional evening of entertainment. Mm-hmm. Why only two shows?
That's a good question.
That is a good question. I think we were worried about selling out. We wanted to maximize sales for each show.
Sea Space seats, what, 180-ish?
Oh, no, it's only 118.
118.
Max, yeah.
So you're looking at 200 and, what, 236?
36, yeah.
As your max number of people that you'll be able to fit in for these two performances. You don't think you'll get that?
I think we're at 81-ish for Friday night and about 50-something for Saturday.
Oh, okay, so you're almost 50% sold.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It is only Monday, folks. We're only recording this now. This is Calgary. Most people will not buy tickets until the day of or the day before.
Isn't that funny?
Welcome to Calgary.
Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
I'm getting gray hairs because of it.
Yeah, so is it a stressful thing trying to make sure that you've got enough butts and seats to
for me,
what you put on?
It is, because as you know, being a performer, you need the energy from the audience.
That's a different perspective for you, because of the financing component of this. You're like, we need butts and seats
to
be able to afford to have enough of a foundational component for the next show to be able to afford to pay people.
We do.
But also, I don't want people to miss this.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just so good.
Yeah.
The music, the people, the singing, the everything is so good. I don't want people to miss it.
Yeah.
So what should people be looking for? Because that's one of the questions I always like to ask. There's stuff that's going to get overlooked. You're sitting in the audience. At some point, you might look at your phone, or there's multiple people on stage, and you're gonna want to be focused over here on this lead singer. But what's going on with the ensemble is beautiful. What's something that, you know, somebody who's listening to this podcast could look out for and keep their eyes open for when they're listening to the to this concert.
Well, the nice thing about this format is it's already stripped down. So your attention is going to be focused on what's important already. And I would say the most amazing part of the show is going to be the voices that you hear and the musicians as well. Like the talent is just top notch. And I don't think that's going to be missed.
But is there anything in particular that you're like, this is beautiful, keep your eyes open and attend? Is it when you're singing?
I would say it's when
Stuart
and you are singing duet.
Oh, I was going to say it's Stuart's last monologue at
maybe,
the end.
Yeah.
Oh, that song just...
I know. It all fades away.
He sings it so beautifully. Mm-hmm. Just perfect. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I'm sorry, it's devastating, Kyle. The song
honestly,
is devastating to me.
The first read-through or run-through we did
people
2 weeks
crying.
Ago, we were crying.
Yeah.
Listening to him.
And Stu is such a good singer that
so
his
emotional.
Voice, the resonance of his voice creates emotion in you. Hmm. Just mm-hmm. listening to it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. He's just phenomenal.
Wait.
I can't mm-hmm. believe we have him. Mm-hmm. We're so lucky.
Yeah, we are. I would say, listen to when the characters are singing together and how Jason Robert Brown wrote, you know, their like soliloquies or monologues and then brings them together in a duet within a song.
Yes. And because we're not
stunning,
we're using mics on stands. So there's not going to be a lot of connection between performers.
Right.
Because you have to, as you know, sing directly into the mic. So the acting all happens directly out to the audience and we have excellent actors.
With our voices.
Yeah. And so really that's the focus. Yeah. So don't expect a huge amount of like physical or any physical connection between characters. It's all sung into mics, but mm-hmm. it's all there being projected straight out into the audience.
It won't be like the Sondheim show, semi-staged. It
right,
won't be like
there
that.
Was so
it
much
will be
action
not
and
staged.
Movement.
Yeah.
And there was so much movement in that. It was really mm-hmm. well done in that mm-hmm. regard. But good art is supposed to have changed the one who bears witness to it. The act of watching these sorts of things should have mm-hmm. some sort of element of change that's wrought upon the viewer. Mm-hmm. And what do you think that people will take away? How will this show have changed them, having seen it on Friday or Saturday night?
I don't think you necessarily have to have been involved in a situation like that to empathize with the characters. None of the characters are perfect people, right? They're all flawed. They all make bad choices.
I think Bessie the cow is pretty perfect, but that's just me.
Unfortunately, we couldn't afford a cow.
Okay, well, that's fair. Bessie's not in this.
Do not look for a cow.
Not starring in this production.
Yeah. But I think anyone who's watching it can empathize with the characters and understand how they feel and relate it to something that's happened in their life. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's going to connect everyone and touch everyone in a different way. And you can obviously, as an audience member, you're going to take from it what you want to take from it or what your life experience dictates that you're going to take from it. So it'll be different for everybody. But
will.
But I just can't imagine listening to this music and hearing this story and not being moved.
So in a broad sense, I feel that The Bridges of Madison County shows us people making choices, making decisions. Sometimes the decisions aren't easy. They're made for them, maybe. But then they find themselves along a path and living a life, making more decisions and choices and coming out the other end, accepting the life that you have made for yourself. You know, not, of course, there's regrets or devastation along the way. But everybody can relate to chasing a dream, losing dreams, that kind of thing. It's a very human story, I think.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, the musical, the book, and the movie all seem to have one thing in common, and that is that it tells you that the most important things in life are not always about making yourself happy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you can find a way to make yourself happy by coming down to the Sea Space this Friday and Saturday. It will be an important thing in your life, as it is an important thing for these performers' lives who are discussing this with me today, because art is an ephemeral, once-in-a-moment thing that changes you. And so you will be changed by bearing witness to this concert. It is done with professional etiquette and a lot of care and attention. I don't know if you've been able to hear just how much labor has been undertaken by everyone involved just listening to this podcast, but I think what's important at the end of the day is recognizing that this is a labor of love. And when a labor of love is undertaken with care and attention, that it is well worth your time, money, and energies. So I will see you Friday or Saturday night. Thanks for listening.